Well, wonderfully done, everybody that had a part. Thank you so much for blessing us with this music tonight. I don't think there's anything that gets us quite into the Christmas spirit like singing some of these Christmas carols. I don't know about you, but with the warm weather, I've had a hard time believing that it's actually December here in Texas, but I've been transported to Christmas this evening, so thank you so much. You know, everywhere I go, people are looking for a counselor. I think more people are seeking counseling than have ever sought it before. The pressures of fast-paced modern life combined with the unique challenges of a global pandemic are pushing the minds, emotions, and relationships of many to a breaking point. Over the last several months, I have found that most any place can be transformed into a counseling room just as soon as I open up my mouth and let people know that I am a pastor. Once I do that, I better settle in wherever I am, the barber shop, the grocery store, the mechanic shop, and on it goes. It still amazes me that people I don't know will confess their deepest, darkest sins to a perfect stranger in a public place. People are looking for a counselor. You know, folks, at some point we're all going to need one. The questions in our lives become too many for us to answer alone. The problems grow larger than our ability to meet them. The tests become too difficult for us to answer them. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a counselor. Amen. And not just any counselor, but a wonderful counselor. Right. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9 here in just a moment. The good news of Christmas is that when the Lord Jesus left heaven and came to earth, he came as just such a counselor. As man, he could understand and identify with our problems and our questions, but as God, he had the wisdom and power to answer and solve them. Jesus is the wonderful counselor our hurting world so desperately needs. He's the wonderful counselor you need. If you've been around church at Christmas time, you know exactly where I'm going. Look at Isaiah 9 and 6. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." 700 years before that first Christmas, the prophet Isaiah prophesied of the coming of the Christ child. He said that the nature of this one who would be born could be discovered through his unique names and titles. This evening, we're to think for just a few moments about the first two titles in this verse. He is Wonderful Counselor, and he is Mighty God. Let's ask ourselves a few questions. Why is he such a wonderful counselor? Do we really need a counselor? And then if we do, how do we get it? So let's ask, why is Jesus called a wonderful counselor? What makes a good counselor? Well, in the first place, a good counselor knows you personally. Now, if you're going to get really good counsel and advice from someone, you're going to need to sit down and talk with them in actual time and space. They need to get to know you. They need to listen to you long enough to hear your heart. A good counselor, I found, does a lot of listening because you are not a machine. You can't be programmed with formulas, and cookie-cutter solutions are often not all that helpful. Jesus is a counselor who knows us personally. The Bible says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Think about that. He knows all man. He knows what's in man. Listen, because Jesus is God, he knows everything there is to know about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head or the numbers of hair you used to have on your head. He knows when you sit down, the Bible says, and when you stand up, and even when you go to bed at night. He knows your thoughts and your deepest desires and your dreams. Because he's God, he knows about you, but because he's man, he knows you. The real beauty of Christmas is that Jesus knows what it is to be a human being. He became one of us. Isaiah said that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's a wonderful counselor because not only can he sympathize with our problems, he can empathize with them. He's been there. He knows you better than you know yourself, and whatever you're facing tonight, he's already faced it. Jesus is a wonderful counselor because he knows you personally and he knows what you're going through. A good counselor not only knows you personally, but he diagnoses you properly. Some counselors lack the wisdom and knowledge to diagnose what you're really struggling with. You sit down with them, you tell them all about your problems, talk to them about your selfishness, the way you've pushed the people in your life away, and then they tell you it's your parents' fault. They didn't get you that Red Ryder BB gun you asked for when you were a child. You've been repressed and you need to liberate yourself, and it's all somebody else's responsibility. Oh, give me a break. What a bunch of baloney. Or perhaps you sit down even with a Christian person and you explain the severity of the problem and they don't quite know what to say. They give you a token Bible verse, they give you a prayer and send you on your way. And to be honest, it's not all that helpful. There are a lot of counselors that lack knowledge and wisdom. But some counselors have the knowledge and wisdom. They just lack the courage to tell you what you really need to hear. As a person who does a lot of counseling, I've done more in the last 2 years than I ever thought I would do. I can tell you it's much easier to tell someone that all their problems are their dead parents' fault. It's much easier to say it's your spouse's fault who's not in here in the counseling room with you. It's much more difficult, and it takes courage sometimes to look a person in the eye and say, all of those other things may have contributed to the problem, but you know what? You're the real problem. You're the source of it, and you need to own up to it. Jesus is the only counselor who always has the wisdom you need and who always has the courage to confront you. There are great illustrations of that in John 3 and 4. You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? He said, Rabbi, you're a great teacher come from God. No one can do the things you do except God be with him. Nicodemus was a religious man, a Pharisee, a self-righteous man. So he wanted to have a religious conversation with Jesus. It took Jesus a split second to size him up. I think he interrupted him even while he was talking. He said, Nicodemus, if you don't get born again, you won't even see the kingdom of God. And by the way, how can you be a teacher in Israel and not know these things? You see what I mean? Wisdom and courage. Nicodemus thought that he would earn his way to heaven. Nicodemus thought that it was a wage that he could buy. Jesus said, no, Nick, it's a gift. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, no matter how religious or self-righteous you are, you haven't even started with God until you've come to him by faith and been born again. And by the way, that counseling session with Jesus, I believe, changed Nicodemus's life forever. I believe he became a Christian, study the resurrection of Jesus sometime. Well, that's just one example of the counseling of Jesus past. You got another one? Well, look at John 4. You don't have to turn there. This time, Jesus isn't meeting with a religious man by night. This time, he's meeting with an irreligious woman in the day by a well. She was a total contrast of Nicodemus, his exact opposite in every way. Nicodemus in John 3 was a Jew. She in John 4 was a Samaritan. He was moral. She was immoral. He was respected in the community. She was an outcast. Remember the story? She comes walking up to the well at noon, and Jesus says to her, give me something to drink. Her immediate response has some sarcasm in it, some disrespect. Why are you asking me for something to drink? I'm a Jew, you're a Samaritan, and you guys don't have anything to do with us, as if Jesus needed to be informed about that. Jesus said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked water for me, and I would have given you living water. The kind of water that if a person drinks, they'll never thirst again. You see, in John 3, Nicodemus's problem was that he was self-righteous. The woman at the well had a problem. She was unrighteous. All of her life, she had been drinking at the well of pleasure and sin, and she came to it empty and thirsty. And just about the time she starts to get it, Jesus says to her, go and get your husband. Remember that? She says, I don't have a husband. But that's only half the story. Jesus says, I know you don't have a husband. You've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with now is not your husband at all. I'm telling you, wisdom and courage, that takes guts. And at that word, the Bible says she dropped her water pot, went into her village, and told them, come and see a man that told me all the things I ever did. And a few moments later, she led just about every person in her town to Jesus, and they came to Christ too. He's a wonderful counselor. When I think about his counsel, I think about the woman caught in adultery. You remember that sad story? The scribes have their stones. They've caught her in the very act. They've cast her at the feet of Jesus. The law says she should die. What do you say, Rabbi? And Jesus draws in the sand for a little while and looks up at the woman and back at the men and says, let him that has no sin cast the first stone. And one by one, the Bible says, from the oldest to the youngest, they left. Then he looked at this broken, guilty, shameful woman, and he said, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those that condemn you? She said, Jesus, there's no one here. They're gone. And he said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He's a wonderful counselor. He knew that this woman didn't need condemnation. What she needed was acceptance. He said, neither do I condemn thee. And if he would accept her, that acceptance would become the power and motivation for her to change. The acceptance came first. Neither do I condemn thee. The change, go and sin no more, came next. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how the gospel works. We can't change ourselves. We're sinners. We're not good enough. And if we try to reform ourselves and we try to change ourselves, it will never work. Thank God there's a God in heaven who says, because of Calvary, I will accept you just the way you are. And that love and that acceptance and that grace will become the power that comes into your life to motivate you to change. Amen. He's a wonderful counselor. A good counselor knows you personally. A good counselor diagnoses you properly. A good counselor delivers you powerfully. Think about this. As wonderful counselor, he diagnoses us and he knows us. But as mighty God, he's the only one who really has the power to change us. Folks, when you go to Jesus for counsel, you won't sit on his couch for 12 weeks at $150 an hour and leave the same person you went in. When you follow his counsel, he'll deliver you. Amen. If you don't believe that, just look at the counseling portfolio of Christ. There was a man named the Maniac of Gadara that no one else could help. Jesus met him by the shores of Galilee in just a few moments in his presence. The man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Jesus took 12 disciples, a ragtag group of lovable losers. They were fishermen and tax collectors and zealots. And 3 years in the counseling room with Christ, they became men that would change the world. Saul of Tarsus was a religious fanatic and a terrorist. But he met Jesus one day on the Damascus Road and was transformed into the great Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian who ever lived. I'm telling you, folks, whatever you're facing, Jesus has the power to deliver you. And all over this room, there are people who, if we gave them time, would stand up and testify to the fact that when they came to Christ, they were broken or addicted or at their wit's end in life, and he delivered them. Amen. Listen, he's the only counselor who comes home with you. He's the only counselor who will move right into the mess of your life. He's the only counselor who will not only tell you what to do, but will give you the power to do it. And because of that, he's a wonderful counselor. You say, Pastor Jill, I'm not so sure I need a counselor. I'm doing just fine, plenty of money in the bank. My mental health meds are working just fine tonight. I'm not sure I need a counselor at all. So why do we need one? Well, here's why, because most of us think that our problems are out there somewhere. And listen carefully. Most of us think that if we had more money, or we weren't so sick, or if we were married to a different person, or we hadn't been so mistreated by our parents, that we would be happier in life and we would be better, more well-adjusted people. When I counsel people, it always goes like this, all right? I get people into my office, marriage counseling. First session, I listen to them. They talk on and on. They tell me all about their problems, and they blame it all on each other. It happens every single time. The second, third, and fourth sessions are me trying to convince them that, yes, there are problems out there, and yes, there may be problems with your spouse, but Jesus said the real problem's in here. That out of the heart of man come all the sins that plague our lives. Think about it. We could put you in a mansion in Frisco. We could surround you with people who are always nice to you. We could never let you turn on the news or hear any distressing news. And guess what? You'd still be anxious. You'd still be depressed. You'd still be bitter. You'd still be miserable. Why? Because those things aren't the problem. Our sin is the problem. Our human hearts are the problem. And thank God Jesus came into this world to do something about our sin. He came into this world as a babe. He was born to die. He died on the cross of Calvary. And then he defeated our sin when he rose again from the grave on the third day. Jesus is the only one who can destroy the sin in your life without destroying you. The only one who can destroy sin without destroying sinners. And that's why you need him, because only God can forgive sin and only God can change your heart at the deepest level. We all think it's out there. No, no, no. It's in here. And only Jesus can do something about what's in here. So you say, Pastor, I know he's a wonderful counselor. I know I need his counsel. Boy, do I ever. How do I get it? Let me just say very simply, if you're going to get his counsel, first of all, you have to have a relationship with the counselor, all right? It says in verse 6, unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given. And that word given is key, isn't it? He's given. He's a gift. Guess what? He's the first and greatest Christmas gift. And he's yours. And the Bible says you can receive that gift by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some counselors have a long waiting list. Some counselors are hard to get a hold of in your times of urgent need. And it makes you think that they don't really care about the people that they counsel. Ladies and gentlemen, not Jesus. The book of Revelation says that he stands at the door of our life and he knocks. And all he wants us to do is open up our life to him, and he will come into us and he will fellowship with us and he will never leave us. Listen, he wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you. That's why he came. And all you have to do is open up your life to him. But once you have a relationship with him, how do you get the help you need? Because there are a lot of Christians, to be honest, that really need his counsel tonight. How do you get it? Six simple steps. First of all, admit your need. I've never met a person who couldn't use help and who didn't need a conversation in the counseling room of Christ. What's your need tonight? Are you willing to admit it? I think oftentimes we come to church and we put on our Sunday best and we try to convince each other and ourselves that we're really not hurting nearly as badly as we say we are. That the grace and salvation and things that we talk about in church are for other people. Let's be honest. I am just as much in need of Jesus today as the day that I was saved by him. Amen. And if you find yourself in a tough place in life, you know how you get counsel from Jesus? First and foremost, you got to admit that you need it. Secondly, seek his help. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not one of those annoying people that goes around offering unsolicited advice and counsel. Don't you hate those people? No, if you want his help, you'll have to ask him for it. Third, accept his diagnosis. Ladies and gentlemen, he has infinite wisdom, and you cannot improve upon infinite wisdom. He's courageous enough to tell you the truth, no matter how hard it may be for you to hear it. So have the courage to accept it. You say, Pastor Gillette, how does he diagnose us? Well, he diagnoses us through the still small voice, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit diagnoses us as we open the pages of the Bible, or as we hear a sermon, someone preaching God's word, or as we get the counsel of a godly friend or family member. And many times when we get that diagnosis, whether it's in a personal devotion or in a sermon, or someone cares enough about us to tell the truth, our immediate response is to get defensive, to shift the blame. That's not true. You don't know me. Can't you see that that's Jesus counseling you? So just accept the diagnosis. Next, work his plan. Work his plan. Every good counselor gives people a plan to work. And yes, Jesus gives us the power to change, but guess what? It often takes effort and diligence on our part. Listen, you're going to have to study his word. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to take your focus off yourself and start serving some other people. And you won't always understand his plan and why he's asking you to do certain things. But guess what? His thoughts are above your thoughts and his ways are above your ways. And his plans are better than your plan. And if he's given you a solution in this book, he means for you to work it. And you won't change until you do. Admit your need. Seek his help. Accept his diagnosis. Work his plan. Receive his grace. I like this. He will be a perfect counselor. you will not be a perfect counselee. The good news is that Jesus knows that up front. And when you fail, his grace will always be there to pick you up again. Can I tell you something? His office door is always open to you, no matter how long you've been away. And he is always a prayer away. And when you fall, he'll give you grace to pick you up if you'll look to him. Lastly, commit to his course. In my experience, a lot of people begin counseling, not as many finish it. Guess what? Jesus wants to be your counselor for your entire life. Well, hasn't it been wonderful to hear from our children today? Listen to me, boys and girls and young people. If you will learn to listen to him and follow him and obey him, he will be your guide and companion and friend for your entire life. I started listening to Jesus when I was a child, and he has never led me wrong, and he will never lead you wrong. Listen, he's a wonderful counselor. He knows you personally. He diagnoses you properly. He delivers you powerfully. Do you need his counseling tonight? Do you need his help? Do you need Jesus? Let's be honest. We all do. How do you get it? Well, first and foremost, you got to have a relationship with him, and everything goes from there. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you told us in your word that good counsel is like sweet perfume. There's nothing in life quite like the moment when you bare your heart to a person and they say the right thing in the right way, and it changes the course of your life. You sent your son into this world to be a wonderful counselor. And for those who are listening, and for those who are following his lead, they could all testify with Isaiah. It's more than a prophecy, more than a prediction, it's true. He's a wonderful counselor. People all over our world and all over this room are hurting. They're looking for someone that has the answers that can help life make sense. We find those answers in Jesus. And Lord, if there is someone here tonight who has never trusted him, never begun a relationship with him, I pray today they will. And for your people, many of us still with so many questions and so many hurts and so many burdens, help us to bring our problems to you and seek your help and work your plan. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you really just one question. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor Gillett, to be honest, I'm not sure there's ever been a time and place in my life where I've begun a relationship with Jesus. I'm not sure I ever recognized just why he came, what he did for me. I'm not sure I've ever turned from my sins and put my faith and trust in Jesus. I'm not sure that I can honestly say that Jesus is my counselor. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed and no one's looking around. Would you care enough about your soul and where you'll spend eternity and care enough about the rest of your life just to let this preacher pray for you? Pastor, I'm not sure I have a relationship with Jesus, the wonderful counselor. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? God bless you. I'm not sure I know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Would you please pray for me? If you raised your hand, would you look up this way? Just look up and make eye contact with me. Here in just a moment, we'll have what's called an invitation. Everyone here will stand to our feet. Our music leader will lead us in a song. This is your opportunity to come and put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you're a man will meet you here with the Bible. If you're a lady will meet you here. And we'll show you right from the pages of God's word how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Not the Baptist way, but the Jesus way and the Bible way. We'd be happy to show that to you today. And I would encourage you, if you're not sure you have a relationship with Jesus, I can't think of any better time than the Christmas season to begin one. That's why he came. Do you have a burden tonight, Christian? Are you weighed down, discouraged? He's a wonderful counselor. Why don't you come tonight and admit your need and seek his help and let it take it from there? Father, use this time of invitation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.